Welcome to ASME TechCast, where we bring you the innovators, the innovations, and the issues that push the envelope of engineering. I'm Carlos Gonzalez, Special Projects Manager at Mechanical Engineering Magazine. Today's episode is sponsored by Xometry. Xometry is a leading AI-enabled digital marketplace for on-demand manufacturing. Xometry's unique marketplace enables buyers to source on-demand manufactured parts and assemblies efficiently. Customers can choose between CNC machining, 3D printing, injection molding, sheet metal fabrication, and more for their part creation needs. Today, we continue our conversation with Greg Paulson, Director of Application Engineering at Xometry. He will be highlighting some real-world case studies on how major industry players have approached digital manufacturing as a service and some of the lessons learned along the way. Greg, welcome back.
Hey, Carlos. Thank you so much for having me again.
So last week where we left off, we were talking about how industry has really embraced some of this new digital manufacturing as a service possibilities, whether it be exploring new manufacturing processes like additive manufacturing or being able to be more flexible by selecting different suppliers or cutting down the supply chain by being more local and bringing some onshoring capabilities. And you as a, you know, your organization has worked with a lot of large companies, and some of your case studies that you have is with companies like NASA and BMW. Could you explain those projects and what those parts entailed?
Yeah, absolutely. And I love these two case studies because they show off Xometry so well, and they show off different reasons why customers have come to Xometry. And you know, a lot of these customers, when you talk about NASA, when you talk about BMW, they're not one-offs. We've had long, ongoing relationships with these customers. Actually, I know BMW has been, you know, one of our oldest relationships here at Xometry, especially with their tooling jigs and fixtures, which is what our case study that we have highlighted with BMW is about. So in the production line for their South Carolina plant, I think they're working on the BMW X series. They have an entire group of engineers that are creating custom tooling and jigs. So these jigs are handheld devices that are typically used to install something by hand on the production floor. So they may be, you know, tethered up to help reduce their weight and movement, but they are usually specially contoured and sometimes look very wacky in their design because they have to fit underneath the bumper and hit this one notch to get an indicator and then fit around the right fender to hit another notch. And now you know it's aligned, so when you press forward, the BMW emblem is exactly where it's supposed to be, that sort of thing. So it's installing the emblems on the vehicle, trim on the vehicle, sometimes smaller components or like, you know, bumper dash features to that. But every single one of them is highly custom. But also because it is in the production floor, they need usually low to mid quantities. So anywhere from like the dozen to like low hundred range on what are needed for those. And these, for BMW, they've really utilized Xometry's multiple manufacturing processes to create these assemblies using a variety of different things from 3D printing to traditional machining to even urethane casting, and make the tools specifically how they need them. Yeah. I was going to say for NASA, I know that's a lot of on the BMW. For NASA, they use it for a completely different reason. So NASA, in the case study they were highlighting, and we've done a lot of different types of work for NASA, their goal was to make a spaceflight part, you know, qualified spaceflight part for their environmental control and life support system, also known as ECLIS. And this is Marshall Space Flight Center. And they had a problem because NASA can manufacture, and actually a lot of our Xometry customers can manufacture, but they couldn't make this. They are trying to make this large featured item. It's almost a multi-axis, think like a tube with a circular tube with a rectangular tube coming out the side and lots of little junctions and threaded features across it in multiple axes. And the only way they can make it with their in-house capabilities was to make it in two parts. But because it was a critical life support system spaceflight part, the ability for them to try to make this in two parts weld it together and then qualify that weld is nearly impossible. So they were searching out and they found Xometry. And because we have such a vast supplier network, including suppliers that can do work like AS9100 qualified space flight parts, and where we ourselves are AS9100 company, we were able to source a very specific type of billet for this job, as well as have a multi-axis machine shop actually able to make, inspect, and qualify this work to hit their critical needs. So very different use cases where what BMW is using the high variety on-demand manufacturing portion, and NASA is using essentially our ability to be just this, a super-powered supply chain because we have so many options under our platform.
No, and you know, I love that we're highlighting these two case studies because you would think, and no, you know, no disrespect to Xometry here, but that companies like NASA and BMW would have the in-house capabilities to produce all their parts, and they would have the resources to kind of meet the challenge. So that fact that they're turning to Xometry speaks to the strength really of digital manufacturing as a service, because you guys are offering them a capability that they don't even have in-house. So what are some of the special considerations in working with companies like NASA and BMW? What are some of the things that you as an organization have to consider when you're working with companies of this scale?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And with any company, especially like a large corporate organization, there's usually the leap into becoming a supplier for them. So hurdle one is a lot of times you get entry into with those companies through an individual purchasing card. And we love P cards, right? Because that allows engineers to find us, use us, and realize, wow, this is an awesome value add. And we work with them to become vetted suppliers. That usually requires the documentation, us going through, and we'll bring it to our contracts team, make sure that we work through with these suppliers and get vetted through. Actually, I have to joke, GE, one of our other customers/investors, every branch that they have, you know, GE Healthcare, GE Aerospace, you name it, it's the exact same form, and you got to do it again. And so, like, you know, it's part of just working in with those clients. So we work through that, and that also opens up the door for increasing opportunities and working in very different categories. When Marshall reached out, so when Marshall Space Flight Center reached out on the NASA job, it wasn't the first time they were working with Xometry. And, you know, just like any other manufacturing, you do build a relationship. In this case, they're building a relationship with the Xometry team, our expert staff. And, you know, when we get these asks, like we're able to just get our team on it, our technical engineers, our CNC estimators, our sourcing procurement teams, because Xometry actually has a raw materials company called Xometry Supplies, where we also have sourcing experts just for the raw material side of things. And we're able to work together as a team and help engineer that solution, that sale. So is it different because they're large and organized? In the discrete jobs, not entirely, because we're able to really get the team together. And again, we can use the automated as much as we can, but we also have the experts to help find solutions for our various customers. But usually that what is the barrier, or what is perceived barrier, is getting past that approved vendor stage and getting past some of the documentation that usually comes around those companies. We always say, like, getting past the certifications is kind of like the plant a tree analogy. You know, when was the best time to do it? 30 years ago. The next best time is today. So let's just get going because some of this take a while. But once we're there, it really does open up opportunities. I think anybody in the manufacturing realm can share a story like that.
So, I mean, I think that's very important to highlight that. Obviously, the level of entry is high, but once they come on board, it's like you're working with any other customer.
Absolutely. And we're also able to, in some ways, I'll say, share the wealth, where a lot of our manufacturers across our network. So these manufacturers that are vetted Xometry suppliers, they're very, very talented at the work and the, like, you know, the machine operations. They have, you know, extremely capable machines, and but they may not have the business development reach or like just the storefront size to reach some of these big clients. But because we're able to essentially secure the relationship as a provider of parts for these companies, we're able to extend that without the paperwork essentially for manufacturers, so they can focus on these really cool projects and get that done. And so I know a lot of our manufacturers really enjoy that aspect of Xometry because it's very pure. You're getting the focus on making great parts and getting paid for it.
In terms of introducing this level of flexibility for these companies, what was it like for them? What did they get surprised by? You know, what design challenges they didn't see coming in terms of, you know, going to the digital manufacturing as a service route?
Yeah, so I'll start with BMW, and I did want to note that this is really cool. It's not necessarily a design challenge, but it's a, now that you have the option to, have you thought about this exercise? So Xometry offer over a dozen different manufacturing processes. Under additive alone, that's 8 different processes. So 6 are polymer, 2 of which are metal. When we are working with BMW, a lot of times their designs incorporate a lot of CNC machine components, whether it's usually aluminum 6061 or Delrin. But there's also, for these things that are hugging the trim of the vehicle, these things that are essentially designed against the contour of the vehicle, they have very organic shapes to it. Working with them, we quickly realized that the major body of most of these handheld designs probably should be additive manufactured. Because for additive manufacturing, organic complexity is free almost. It's just very easy to do. You just have it in the file and you press print and you get your part. And even more so, a lot of these parts, you know, if you're going spanning a bumper, you may have a very long part. We offer large format 3D printing through our FDM services, and it has kind of a double win for the BMW team. That team needs parts to be color-coded based off of visual management system. So the front right bumper area may have a certain color, like everything's green, front left bumper may be yellow, you know, back right may be red, so you could see when something's out of place on the factory floor. And you could do that because you have so many colors available in FDM. But even more so, I could actually print with a lighter infill. So when I'm 3D printing, I'm growing these 3D shapes from the bottom to the top. In a process like FDM, I could actually say, I'm going to put a grid, a lightweight grid, basically kind of a zigzag on the inside of this part instead of filling it solid. So it reduced the weight of these parts. And I think the stat they sent me is for most of their handheld tools was by 25 to 50%. And by doing that, where's the other stat? I wrote it down on my cheat sheet over here. But they were able to reduce, I think the, I'll see if I can find it here. They were able to reduce the error rate because of less fatigue. So holding these working all day, by moving to additive manufacturing, by discovering that additive manufacturing can be part of these tools, they were able to reduce their error rate from 10% to 4% in some cases. So significantly reduced error rate because essentially that making these parts lightweight, making them more conformal, you know, giving them more purpose-built design versus just I need to design for access like CNC machining. You can actually do more with additive. They're actually able to reduce error rates and improve their production with these handheld tools.
I mean, we were talking about additive last week, right? We were talking about how companies embracing additive is giving them new flexibility. They're improving their processes just by its nature. You know, its nature of being flexible and faster and kind of being able to produce parts on demand. So additive in this digital manufacturing world, they seem to go very much hand in hand.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just another tool in the tool belt. We offer a lot of options and we're continually improving on that. You know, I was actually just talking and I'm doing a webinar with some of the team over at AMT. They have a machine called PostPro 3D and it's a vapor smoother. And what allows you to do with some plastic additive manufactured parts is you're able to smooth and seal the surface of these objects. And it not only gives something more cosmetic, right? Because it looks smoother, looks nicer, looks more like an injection molded component. But that sealing is really important when you think about processes like fused deposition modeling or selective laser sintering that usually have either micro gaps or like kind of a grainy outer surface that can be absorptive. And it increases what you can do with 3D printing for handheld use, possibly healthcare requirements, and just more what I would consider commercial viable goods by adding these post-processing technologies into your lineup. And we like these tools because they're generalist use, but we also like them because companies like BMW, who are looking at this now for a color code system, sometimes the color is different than what you have as available filaments or painting them. Or like they need the sealed surface, which is actually the better use case for this. And now we may be able to just remove the paint step altogether, and instead of painting these, just sealing them, and sure. getting this and getting a one shop result. So instead of sending out to a painter and coming back, so we're constantly improving, and they're just going to the same site. You know, so it's a very, very clean experience as we keep on looking at the demands that our customers have and how can we make a better service for them.
No, I that's exciting. And I think you said the right word earlier. These are all just new tools in the toolbox for manufacturers, right? It's not, I think from what I've spoken with manufacturers, I think their biggest concern has always been, well, how do I shift gears? And it's not so much shifting gears. It's just realizing that you have new things at your disposal, new processes at your disposal. And it's the same steps probably of designing a part, submitting the files. But now instead of being, let's say, pigeonholed with one process or one manufacturer, yeah. you have the freedom to shift if you need to.
Yeah, and even on design considerations, the most common questions that we get in our chat or from phone calls coming from the customers is, can you X or can you cut Y or, you know, how can a hole be Z shape? And all these can you questions. And because we are essentially consolidating so many different capabilities under one platform, the answer is always yes. It's instead of saying, I don't want to upload until you answer, can you? It's just like, upload your file, you'll probably see a price on it. If your part requires fourth, fifth axis machining, it'll price out for you. It takes into consideration these design for manufacturing goals, and it gives you, you know, a fair and appropriate price for those matters. But that's something that I think, you know, we've talked a lot about BMW, but going back to NASA was one of those questions was they, in their mindset, they just thought it's got to be two pieces. And when we saw this and we're like, yeah, we could do that. It was kind of like this wow factor. Like, oh my gosh, I could design with my intent in mind. And I don't need to worry about the trade-offs of what my shop can do or what I think people can do. And I actually take a look at this. And we look at a project holistically because we have so many options available, you know, small format micro machining, large format gantry milling, large format printing, small detail printing. We have options available. And it just requires uploading a file and, you know, you'll start seeing the quotes shooting out.
That's amazing. I think just to, you know, wrap up our second episode here, let's just, you know, what's some advice that you could provide a company of any size, whether it's a small firm, medium size, or a large firm like we've been talking about with NASA and BMW, to pivot towards digital manufacturing as a service? You know, how can they approach it? How can they be better prepared? What do they need to do on their checklist to get to this place, to this point?
Yeah, absolutely. As I mentioned, the minimum entry a lot of times is that 3D file because most processes, even in traditional manufacturing like CNC machining, do use 3D files because we're using stuff like computer-aided manufacturing, CAM programs to do that. So when you're designing this 3D file, you know, my piece of advice is all think about that not just as a file to make, right? Think of it as a virtual inventory piece. With digital manufacturing, You don't need to think about traditional rules like you know, I need to order a mint at a minimum, or I need to do X. That file itself is extremely powerful for you and your supply chain. If you have supplementary details like drawings as well, like that is extremely powerful, especially if you have a disruption in your supply chain, like we saw with the COVID-19 shutdowns. One of the biggest challenges for a lot of those companies trying to adapt was the fact that they didn't have a file. They knew where to buy it, but where they could buy it just didn't exist anymore. They didn't have a file or a technical drawing. And those things become universal, where you could take that file and drawing and go to Xometry, and now we have, you know, we have the ability to actually go and make those parts on demand. And that becomes really powerful. So as we're adapting for a more modern manufacturing workforce, those files are just as critical as the physical parts. And in a lot of ways, in some ways, they're more critical because it's your gateway to flexibility and to utilizing some really fantastic services that are modernizing manufacturing industry.
I mean, makes sense, right? If you're going to be going into digital manufacturing, you need to have a digital inventory, and that includes the files and the plans and the blueprints to make that process happen.
Absolutely.
Well, Greg, thank you so much for speaking with us on ASME TechCast and talking about digital manufacturing as a service, educating our members on the process, and hopefully getting started.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.
Thanks so much.
I'm Carlos Gonzalez. Thank you for listening to ASME TechCast. And thanks to our sponsor, Xometry, for today's episode. To learn more on how you can approach digital manufacturing, visit Xometry.com. That's Xometry.com. You can find our other episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Anchor, or your favorite podcasting platform.